All right, what's going on? You listen to King Cam and Junbei podcast, and Junbei Me's message. I am glad that you guys are here once again. This is a wonderful time, a wonderful week. I hope all has been well with you. And I'm just happy that you guys are here with us once again. All right, without any further ado, we're going to get down to the business, but much love to the fam out there, to the Junbei fam out there in just all over the diaspora. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, all the things. We're everywhere. We're on every podcast platform, on every platform, and we're on YouTube and all those good things. So yes, I am not at the school. I am at home. I am recording at the house. As you see my library, this is not all of my books. Okay, one day I might do a Let me get out the screen real quick. One, this is not all the books, okay? Not all of them, because I just put one of my shelves up. There's another one over there. But yeah, most of my some of the majority of the rest of my books are in the garage. All right, so but yeah, much love to you guys. I really appreciate you guys coming. Yes, I do not have my glasses, but we're gonna make it do what it do, right? But let's get down to the business. I appreciate you guys coming. There's so many wonderful things that are coming up. So many great and wonderful things. Shout out to the family, the diaspora. This is African History Month. You know how it goes. You know how I'm going to get down. But I got to give love to all the fam, all the Njunbe fam, all over the land, all over the world. Shout out to the fam in Texas, California, New York. That's Njubei fam in Germany. Yeah, most love to the fam in Brazil, Swaziland, Hausaland, oh my goodness, all over. And goodness, I where and where are you from? Put it in the comments. I really appreciate you guys coming through. And before we get started, really good. I've got, yeah, I have it. All right, this is the Midnight Sun Dreaming Art Journal. You can get this. All right, this is my own little publications here. You can draw in here, you can write in here, and also you can put a little bit of information as to what kind of dream you had. All right, and yeah, it's a dreaming art journal. I used to do that all the time, still do. I would I would write down what my dream was, and what my process was, what I was thinking about, or and it's been very beneficial. All right, and boom, when Junbei Me's message, it is a journal. Yes, it is for children, but the young at heart also. For those who love to write, for those who love to express themselves in writing, here it is, Njubei Me's message journal. All right, so it is on Amazon, all the places. Okay, I'm trying to get this sturdy. All right, this jarida belongs to, okay, jarida is Swahili for journal. All right, Midnight Sun art, dreaming art journal, and Njubei Me's message. You know how we do it, all right? But yes, yours truly put these together. They're on Amazon right now, and as a matter of fact, as an Amazon associate, I earn from qualifying purchases. Nothing extra, nothing over the top. If the item was so many dollars, that's what it is. But let's get down to the business, all right? I'm just so excited. I'm so excited about this information. And I'm just so excited about you guys being here with us. All right. Let's get down to it. All right. Let me get my life together. All right. Here it is. All right. King Cam and Junbei Night School. Yes, it is. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. But I am just thankful once again for you guys to be here. All right. Now, this is chapter six. Chapter six in Basil Davidson's work. We're still on this, The Lost Cities of Africa by Basil Davidson. It's a very good book, very thorough. Chapter 6, The Traders of the Indian Ocean. All right. Now, this course is an introduction to African history geared just for you. Okay. And it's designed to foster a life of learning. It is my hope and my vision is that this will spark your interest in learning more and studying more, whatever the subject is. Okay. It's not just, it doesn't have to just be African history or dealing with Kush or Sudan or dealing with the Bilal of Sudan or anywhere. It could be something that interests you and you want to research it for yourself. You want to do your own thing, right? All right. Now, it will be once a week. Yes, I fell off last week. It was a lot of great and wonderful things that happened last week. And so I had to, push it back. But it would normally is once a week, right? We'll go over a few readings on the continent. And there's always the question, are there any other civilizations in Africa outside of Kemet? Yes, there is. Okay. Kemet, yes, it may be one of the jewels of Africa, but there's so many others. All right. Now, this is a basic description of the sub-regions of Africa. We are right around here. Ethiopia, Somalia, shout out to the fam. Tanzania, Kenya, all this area right here. This is where we're going to be, y'all. All right. Now, the book, of course, is Basil Davidson's Lost Cities of Africa. Yes, if you haven't got a copy, I will put that in the description. Also, this is in, you can get this on Amazon. And like I said, some of these books I earned from qualifying purchases as an Amazon associate. So check it out. It is a good book. It is, yes, it was wrote by a European, but we gotta get quality scholarship no matter where it's from or who it's from. All right. But like some people say, eat the meat and pick out the bones. Now, let's recap. This is from a couple of shows previously. What were the origins of the term Zanj? Who were the Wakalimi? Okay, I'm gonna put that video also in there. Who were the Wakalimi? And did they have their own form of religion and describe their view of divine kingship? Not kinship. All right, kingship. All right, now let's move on. All right, today we will identify and discuss major concepts in the book, Lost Cities of Africa. In chapter 6, we are slowly moving on, moving forward. I have some other topics I'm very excited about for summer school, but I'd like to go and get through this book. There's some great and wonderful topics, a lot of good questions being asked, but stay tuned, right? Now, here are the main questions today. How was Sheba's cities described? All right. And what did they find sailing down Africa? We're talking about the eastern coast of Africa. What did they find? And what did the Greek pilot Scylax of Charyanda discover? What did he find out? And describe the nature of the trade. What was the like some of my friends would say, crux of the whole matter, right? Now, here we go. Chapter 6, The Traders of the Indian Ocean, Basil Davidson's The Lost Cities of Africa. Now, remember Sheba's cities, okay? There were quite a few. Okay, Zanj, of course, is southeastern area of Africa. Somalia is one, Kenya is another, Uganda or Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, Malawi, Mozambique, Zanzibar. Okay, now if I miss any one of them, if I miss any more, by all means share. Let me know. Put them in the comments. And I know these are major cities, but I know the fam out there in East Africa can enlighten me or enlighten us on some smaller, lesser known cities. We're all here to learn together, right? Let's get it. Now, Sheba cities, they're voyaging, according to Basil Davidson, voyaging along the east coast. Duarte Barbosa saw the great sellers of gold and ivory. Keep in mind, this has been going on for a long time. Okay, they've been doing their thing for a long time. So all of a sudden, who are these people? But they obviously, if they've been great sellers of gold and ivory, they've been doing it for a very long time, uninterrupted, right? Now, even though sailing was new to Europe in the 1500s, that wasn't a new, sailing was not a new phenomenon in Africa, all right? Africans have been settling along the east coast of Africa during the Kemetic Middle Kingdom. Okay, this was documented, this was notarized and recognized, right? Bessie Davidson mentioned that, but there are so many other scholars that mentioned the same. And he also goes on to say 2,000 years before the Portuguese sailed down to East Africa, King Hiram of Tari was noted to sail along the coast of Africa also. All right. So this is 2,000 years before the Portuguese. Okay. For my fam in Brazil, I hope I said it right. Portuguese. Right. King Hiram of Tari was noted to sail along the coast of Africa. But side note. I got a jab. King Hiram of Tari and his reign was long after the Middle Kingdom of Kemet. Okay, let's go and do that. Let's go and have this conversation. I personally do not like how. Hold on, let me get that. Okay, he reigned 980 to 947 BC. The Middle Kingdom was between 2030 to 1650 about BC before Common Era. This is thousands upon thousands of years before Hiram of Tari. I, as a history teacher, as an educator, I do not like or appreciate how they would make that statement and put it in that order, if you understand what I'm saying. They would, okay, let's focus. All right, but this is what they would do. And I don't like it. Okay. What they would do, they'll say Hiram of Tari, okay, then Egypt or Kemet. And some people are not privy to the dates. All right. And so when I used to teach world history, I used to teach world history high school, and they would put the river valley civilizations together, the Nile River Valley, Indus River, and the Yellow River. And psychologically, if you mention all three of them, psychologically, you'll think all of them started together. That's a finesse. That's a brain game they're playing. So when they mentioned Hiram of Tari, who was around the 900 BC, and then the Middle Kingdom, people think Hiram of Tari came before the Middle Kingdom of Kemet. Not so. So understand that people of Africa in Africa were sailing up and down the eastern coast. And I know some brothers mentioned that they did expeditions all around the continent and back to Kemet. All right. So I had to go on to say that, I got to be me, right? All right, here we go. So the Middle Kingdom was between 2030 B, to 1650 BC, a lot of great things was happening, but we got to keep it moving, right? And this is my boy, Mentu Hotep. I think the second, I believe. Yeah, if they wanted to make him lighter. Okay, all right. If they want, I don't know. If they wanted to make him lighter, they would have. I'm just saying, all right. Here we go. Sheba cities. El-Masudi talked about Sana'a in Yemen. Those major cities, they were full of gardens. This is what they found. It was full of gardens, fruits, many streams. And Yemen would count among the most civilized countries in the world, even though they would say, in Basil Davidson, he would say Arab nations. But keep in mind, at this time, most of the people of Arab nations were of darker hue. All right, so there was not a lot of light-skinned Arab people in Yemen at this time. All right. All right, let's pause and reflect on that. All right. So this is what they found. It was full of gardens again, fruits, many streams, and they were civilized, and they was making it happen. All right. And as they were sailing down Africa, a Greek pilot named Skylas of Saranda was the quote unquote first mariner who had passed the Indian Ocean at 510 BC. I don't know about that, but that's what they're saying. But I know if people were sailing before 510 BC, I'm sure they was looping the globe. All right. Now, so during this time, they followed the coast as far down the Cape Delgado at the entrance of the Madagascan Channel. So they was making their way from the northern area all the way down south, down to Madagascar, which is pretty cool. All right. Now, one of the most famous books on the subject of the is the Periplus of the Erythraean Sea. The author described the trading routes and they were very intricate. They was very involved, just like in the western part of Africa, just like in the western part of Africa where those trade routes along the Bilali Sudan into Mali, into Morocco. There were shout out to Baba Shabaka. He mentions this a lot on his show. Check him out. He's pretty good. He's real good. But about the trade routes along the Bilali Sudan in East Africa, there was similar trading routes. Very involved, very intricate. By this time, according to Davidson, these routes were known by many travelers. Everybody who was a traveler, who was a mariner, a sailor, or anything that dealt with commerce or money, they knew them routes. All right. Know where you're going, right? Now, the question is, what did they trade? What did they trade? What did they trade? They traded wheat, rice, ghee, sesame oil, cotton, cloth, honey, and much more. And each area was ruled by a separate chief or subject to the Himyarite princes of Arabia. Okay, so either each town had their own chief, or they was under a conglomerate or a confederation of leadership. All right, so once again, they traded wheat, rice, ghee, sesame oil. I may be pronouncing it incorrectly. Forgive me. Sesame oil, cotton cloth, honey, and much more. That's what they was trading long before Europe. People was making money and making things happen. All right. Now, how far to the southward? How far to the southward? A coin to Constantine the First was found in northern Madagascar. That's how far they was going. That's how far money was being sent and utilized. And also, they also found Chinese porcelain. Get this, Chinese porcelain from the same in the Ming Dynasty. I think it's maybe. Hold on, let me find my book here. See, I got to have a book. So. Yeah, it is same. I thought it was or here it is. All right. It is page 177 for those who need to know. Page 177. All right. But check this out. Let me quote this. And ships were customly fitted out from the places across the sea from Eurasia and Braganza. Okay. These are I'm gonna keep reading. These are imported into the markets of this coast of Azania, the coast of Kenya and Tanzania, the lances that are made in Muza, especially for this trade, and hatchets and daggers and awls and various kinds of glass. At some places, a little wine and wheat, not for trade, but to serve for getting the goodwill of the people. Now, he does say savages, okay? Remember, these people are Europeans, and they think everybody's a savage except them, even though they live uncivilized themselves. I digress. But this is all before Europe. Okay, this is all before that. Okay, so they got money. They had money from the northern area, and it was just trading all the way down south. Okay, and it was getting Chinese porcelain. All right, come on. They was getting stuff from China and everywhere else. Okay, out there in East Africa. Okay, so they had houses. As a matter of fact, when the Portuguese got down there, okay, when the Portuguese and them went down there, they realized that some of the smallest houses had at least one or two cisterns, or in other words, they had bathrooms and wells. They had restrooms. Wait a minute. When they got down there, They realized that these houses had plumbing in it and had no connection to Rome and all those places. All right. So, yeah, they had Chinese porcelain and all the good stuff, right? Now, once again, passages of the Periplus describe the intricate nature of trading along the coast. It was very organized and intentional. All right. Very organized and intentional. Okay. Now, especially at the ports of Kenya and Kansas, I think it's, I should have, let me get my spelling together. Tanzania. Okay. I was, all right. So sorry for my spelling. All right. Is it Tanganyika? Tanganyika? No, that's not a person's name. All right. It's supposed to be Tanzania. My bad. Yikes. Right. All right. They had piratical habits under separate chiefs. But get this. The overall coast was claimed by a Southern Arabian potentate. Yeah, they were organized. They had it together. We talk about the Moors up there in the northern part of northern and eastern Africa, I mean Western Africa into Europe, but there was Africans in the southern and eastern part that was very organized and had things together also. So once again, it wasn't Kush and Kemet weren't the only place where civilization was happening. Okay. So, and remember, I say again, most of the people who were Arabian at this time look like this guy right here. Yeah, I know. To my Tuareg fam, yeah, that's Tuareg, but I had to use a pretty, decent example. All right. But yes, the overall coast was claimed either by separate chiefs or leaders or an Arabian potentate under some ancient right, which subjects it to the dominant state of Arabia. Okay. Yeah, it can go. All right. So shout out to the fam. Who kind of understands processes and systems. We still have our processes. We still have those systems in place to where if you understand the people, if you understand the way of life, yeah, doors will be open to you. Okay. Friendships can be made. All right. Let's go. Now, according to Masudi, they traded beads from Indonesia and Indochina. Idrisi was in demand. Ivory and tusks sold by the Zans. Of course, we talked about the Zans last time. And gold, iron, and unfortunately, let's talk about it, slaves. Now, I can't, make everything pretty. Okay? Slavery was also a thing of trade. Okay? And let's be honest with you. Yes, we harp on the European slave trade, but there was a Eastern Africa, there was an East Africa Arab slave trade also. Let's be even-handed about this. We can't just focus on Britain and the West and not mention the people of the East. It won't be fair. All right. All right. So, and of course, the section four of this chapter, chapter six, section four, kind of deals with, say, China and their involvement. But even the author was like, okay, this is going into Chinese history, not African history, right? So that's, I kind of skipped that part. But check it out. All right. Now, remember, what were the origins of the terms of Zans? Who were the Rocklimi? And did they form their, have a form of religion? Now, so the question is, let me get back to my recap. Hold on. Okay. So, because those weren't the questions I wanted, but let me get to go back to the main question. Okay. How was Sheba's cities Describe. Okay. How would they describe? Did they have fountains, or did they have rivers and things? What did they find sailing down Africa? And what did the Greek pilot Scylax of Caryanda discover and describe the nature of trade? What were they trading and how were they trading? All right. We just talked about that. You can put that in the comments. All right. Now, we're going to find out. Here we go. So what's next? Next week, all right, we'll discuss or discover chapter 7. And for more on Africa, check out Home Team Sankofa Pan-African Series, the African History page, and AE Learning, and and Baba Yahya Shabaka. He's really good. He's really good. And we got to get some books, right? More books, The Destruction of Black Civilization. Yeah, this guy here talks about that, talks about the Arab slave trade that, some people like to not talk about. Okay, very good book by Chancellor Williams. Check it out. I'll have that book in the description down below. All right. Once again, as an Amazon associate, I earn from qualifying purchases. But yes, I have some of these books. When I was at Paul Quinn College, I had to get down with the get down. These were my bread and butter right here. And my son decided to put a little artwork in it when he was little. So, it's pretty cool. All right. So what else? What else? The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. This was written by Drusilla Dungy Houston in the 20s, 1926. Very good book. Check it out. Love it. All right. And for Arabia, for Black Arabia, and the African Origin of Islam by Wesley Muhammad. Pretty decent, pretty nice book. Check it out. All right. It talks about the blackness of Yemen and blackness of that eastern land. Okay. Now, for kids, what about the kiddos? What about the kiddos? All right, Tutankhamun and His Friends. This is a book that I'm very fond of, and I kid you not, this was the book my parents gave me when I was like 11, 12 years old. Love the book. It was easy read for children, so it's still out there. Okay, I'm gonna put that also in the description and everything. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. But King Tut and His Friends, love that book. Okay, love the artwork and everything. And don't forget Midnight Sun Dream Art Journal is out now. And Junbei Means Message. All right. And let's not forget prayers for peace and unity and stability for our family along the Sahel region, the Congo, Ethiopia, and Sudan. It is still happening, y'all. Yes, we know that there's other people that are going through it too. We get it. We get it. But Congo right now is they've been going through it, to my understanding, since 2002. Yeah. Millions of people being displaced and or killed. Okay, so we got to pray to them, pray and pray for them and do what we can if within our means, right? And yeah, next week, chapter 7, the Fair Cities of Stone. Yeah, we talked about the Great Wall of China, but there is a Great Wall in Zimbabwe also. All right. But I know this is Black History Month, but this week is, Valentine week. Okay. Love the people that you love. Love the people that you love around you. And my love, the love of my life, is Queen Cam. This is our 22nd. 22nd. Valentine. So shout out to Queen Cam. She's my favorite. Okay. I tell people I love love stories, but the best one is ours. This show is for you, Queen Cam. I really appreciate you and what you do. And maybe I have her on the show. She's not a history person like me, but she is my friend. All right. And she's the love of my life. And love people. Love your family, love your loved ones and your spouses, your children, okay? All right, that's it. That's all the words I got to say. But You listen to King Cam and Junbei podcast and Junbei Me's message. And today's message is the southern coast or the southeastern coast of Africa. Okay. Don't forget, once again, like, comment, subscribe. We dealt with chapter 6, the traders of the Indian Ocean. Okay. And I will talk to you guys later. All right. Peace.